Welcome to Listen in Wonder. Join us as we explore the wonder of who God is and who He has created us to be. Each week, we encourage you to pause, listen carefully for the voice of your perfect Father, and wait to hear whatever He says to you. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.
Well, welcome back. It is Wonder Wednesday. Truly one of our favorite days of the week for some of us around here. I am really excited to share a story with you about God's goodness. I think it's a really beautiful story. When I heard it for the first time this summer in some detail, just the idea that God's presence is overwhelming and that He wants to spend time with us. He wants to speak with us. He wants to be in that relationship with us, whether it is a mountaintop moment or a valley. That's what you're going to hear today, that He is present and He is speaking. So I want to welcome Sarah Bunch.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for being with me today.
Yeah, great to be here.
Sarah and her husband Jordan worship at our Keller campus, and I heard her story so beautifully this summer at a women's night of worship. And one of the things, Sarah, that as I close my eyes and think back about that night was the beauty of, I want to explain to y'all, here's what it was. It was just a women's worship night, a gathering and a testimony of God working in people's lives. And Sarah shared her story, but also there was a graduating senior sharing her story, she and her mom. And I sat behind all of them and watched as Sarah listened to Abby's story. I watched as Abby listened to Sarah's story. And I'm not a professional photographer in any capacity, but I remember watching Abby extend her hand as somebody prayed over you. And Abby had been through a really difficult season as well. And so yes, it was just great. Really incredible for me to sit back and listen and sit back and watch both of you share your testimonies, but just the beautiful way that you both communicated that God has been with you through everything. So before we get to all of that, Sarah, will you tell us a little bit about you and Jordan, about your family, maybe how you came to the Keller campus of the Hills Church even?
Sure. Yeah. Well, Fyra, thank you so much for having me on today. It's been such a gift to get to be at the Wonder Conference, especially I think about the last several years. Jordan and I were married in 2009, okay. And I'm originally from Sugar Land, Texas, right near Houston.
Yeah.
So grew up in the church there, and Jordan grew up in this area.
Okay.
He was in DeSoto and then Sunnyvale. So he went to Highland Oaks Church of Christ for a while.
Oh, he probably knows some people at our Dallas campus then.
Yes,
I'm guessing.
Right.
Okay.
So we met at ACU. Let's see. I was a freshman there in 2007.
Okay.
And he was 2 years older than me. He worked at the church. He was a college and worship intern.
So that is so fun. So you're a freshman and he's a junior. This sounds a lot like my story at ACU, kind of, but it was about a decade and a half. No, I'm kidding. A little bit before you guys.
Yeah.
But that was also cool for me to figure out that we are both Wildcats.
Right.
That's very fun.
Small
so
world.
He's 2 years ahead of you in school. Okay.
So he was teaching the Sunday morning Bible class at church, and I was just really impressed with him. He seemed very genuine. Very solid, very secure.
Which probably a lot of freshman girls were having the same thoughts.
Right.
Yes. Just thinking. Yes. So how did y'all meet, like officially?
So just like a Wednesday night after church, he was talking to one of my friends that I grew up with. And I was like, man, I really want to meet this guy. So I just went up and introduced myself on a Wednesday night after church. And
that is so fun.
We just started talking, and you know how it goes. The next thing, they're flashing the light saying, all right,
time to go.
Oh, wow. And he would sit at the library level.
Okay.
The Starbucks level of the library. And bring his laptop.
Okay, they didn't have Starbucks when I was there, but that's okay. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm sure it's changed now. I want to go back and visit. I'm sure they've renovated that section too. So yeah, he would just, you know, invite people to church there. Mm-hmm. And I would walk up and get my coffee because I was pre-med first semester and had a lot of studying to do.
Wow, yeah.
And he'd be like, hey, come sit with me. And I'm like, oh, I got to go upstairs. I really have to study. I can't just be on the social level.
So he just the social level of the library.
Yes.
Don't you know that some kids are calling home and telling their parents, I'm going to the library, but then they never even open a book. Anyway.
Yeah. Right. So we met first semester. I had just made a pact with my roommate that we were not going to date anyone freshman year.
Okay.
Because I just wanted us to have fun.
Yeah.
And not get any serious relationships with boys, right? Yeah. Just enjoy our freshman year. I just knew that junior year, I would meet the perfect guy.
That is so funny.
Senior year, I would get the ring and we would get married after college, right?
the plans that we all have for ourselves. Right.
I had no idea that we would get married after my sophomore year.
Oh, wow.
So I was like the first one of all my friends to get married. And
is your roommate still speaking to you today?
She
broke the pact.
She's happily married. She's actually expecting her first baby. It's a really sweet story. Yeah. Okay. So ACU, we met, we got married, and then Jordan was a dorm director at ACU.
Oh, that is so funny.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. I loved living in the dorm. And
so y'all are married and he's the dorm director?
Yeah.
Wow. That is love. Like that you're spending your first couple of years as a married couple living in the dorm. Did you live in the dorm?
We did. Yes.
Okay.
Like on the main level, there's like this little apartment. I feel like no one really knows about it. And we just get to, be there. Hear all the basketballs bouncing, do laundry and all those stinky laundry.
Man, machines. When your kids get older, you're going to be like, we have seen it all. Don't even try to pass off.
Yes, exactly.
We have seen it all. We have lived there. We know. Yeah.
Such a great
Okay, fun that's
time.
So fun. I didn't know that about you guys.
Yeah. So after that, let's see. I finished my speech path graduate program in 2013. So 2013, we moved to Austin, Texas.
Okay.
2013 in the fall, and my first job as a speech pathologist was working at Easter Seals, so with ECI, the Early Childhood Intervention Program there. And we really felt the Lord was calling us into apartment ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of apartment life?
I have.
Yeah. So we really enjoyed getting to meet people and just share the love of the Lord with them, invite them to church.
It's a really cool ministry because if I understand it correctly, you're just building relationships with people in the complex.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they have questions, they kind of know who to come to.
Right.
I mean, you can invite them to church too, but like it's primarily just building relationships with people within your complex and being a light.
Right. We would host three events every month.
Yeah.
And we would have a list of all the new people that had just moved in the past month and ask them how they're doing.
Yeah.
Kind of take notes.
There is an apartment life ministry in this area too.
There is.
And I have a contact. I'm drawing a blank on her name. But if anybody listening is like, I'd love to know more about that.
Yes.
You can contact me and I can put you in connection with them. It is a really beautiful ministry.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool. So y'all did that for a couple years.
We did that for a couple years. And then our apartment community was bought by an atheist, which I mean, it's fairly common, they sell apartments. So then we moved out to Pflugerville, little suburb of Austin.
Yes.
That was our first house. And we had a 1-year-old when we moved in. And then I was pregnant with Hattie Lou, our second girl. And then in 2018, we had our last little one, little Beckett.
Oh, love it. So Annabelle is how old now?
She's 10. She's in fourth grade.
Oh, so sweet. And Hattie Jo.
Hattie Lou.
Okay.
She's in second grade. She's 8.
Okay.
Yes.
Sisters.
And then Beckett. I never had a sister. Oh, my goodness. That is just the sweetest little thing to watch.
Sisters are a gift. I will say they really are a gift.
So happy you have a sister. What a blessing. I know.
It's a huge blessing.
Yeah.
I have one daughter too. I have one daughter. You have two girls and a boy.
Yes.
I have two boys and a girl.
Okay.
And thankfully, Tatum has some cousins really close to her age. So I was like, Lord, that's close.
Yeah.
It's close.
Yes.
But sisters are a gift. Yes, I agree. So that they're 10, 8, and 6 now.
Yes.
So what brought you guys to this area from the Austin area?
Yeah. So Jordan is originally from Dallas.
Okay.
And in Austin, he would just have work up here all the time.
Mm.
A lot of connections.
Okay.
to do work in this area. So he got to a point where I remember he told me, he said, you know, I have this new client. I'm going to be doing a lot of work for him up in DFW. So I really feel like either we move up to the FW or I'm going to be on I-35.
All the time.
All the time. I was like, well, I want to be with you as much as possible. So
what year was that? Only because I know where your story's going. So I'm like,
yes, right.
To me is like.
That was 2020. Yeah, that was December of 2020.
Okay.
And I was diagnosed with cancer in March. Sorry, November of 2020. March is when
So the discernment of trying to decide where we're going to be. It's incredible to think about that. That thankfully you were choosing. We need to all be together.
Right.
The Lord knew what.
The Lord knew what was going to happen.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I thought we were going to be in the house forever. Like forever. I never thought we would move. And it was incredible, the peace that God gave me about that move.
Yeah. Well, because when you're in a church family and you're in a neighborhood and you're I'm guessing Annabelle has started school.
Oh, I loved,
and so,
you
know, it's hard to leave some of those things behind and go somewhere that you don't know what it's going to be like.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yes.
But just trusting that the Lord does. Right. So before we get all the way there, because we are going to your cancer story. You shared with me just this morning a little bit of time that you and Jordan spent maybe before kids even, right? In a home church in Abilene. I want you to talk about that. And I want you to talk about what you shared with me as part of one of your sacred rhythms, I would call it.
Yes.
With this house church, because I think it's super foundational to where we're going today in your story.
Right. Yeah. So when Jordan was in graduate school, his program was to teach you how to start house churches in North America.
Okay.
And I had not really heard of a house church, I don't think.
Yeah.
And Jordan had done an externship in New York City in the Bronx.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
Whenever we were dating, not yet engaged. And he got to visit quite a few house churches. And do Bible studies and just kind of experience, learn from a missionary up there, Jared, what that was like. And he had been working for the church before that. So he had his foot in church ministry in a traditional church, like we were both raised in, doing college ministry and worship ministry. So this was a whole new experience for him. And he came back really excited about house church and how the Lord could use house churches in the U.S. to reach people that had fallen away from the church, who were disillusioned with the church, who just might not feel comfortable walking into a church building like you and I go to.
Right.
So we started, he started this program. I was doing speech pathology. He was doing a graduate program, and the spouses or significant others were invited to do some of the listening rhythms together.
Okay.
So we would once a week meet at his professor's house and his professor's wife, and we would sit in their living room. There were, I think, about 8 students in the program. Okay. So with the spouses, you know, 16 or so graduate students, and we would go around the room. And the first step of the practice was sharing. So we would share at a heart level how we were doing that day. And they say psychologists have these 6 major emotions. We can usually point back to how we're feeling: sad, angry, scared, happy, excited, or tender. And so we would each have time to share, you know, maybe 2 or 3 minutes how we're doing. After that, we would pause and we would have time to listen, listen to the Lord. And so the question would be posed, Lord, what do you want to say to the other people in this room?
Wow.
And so we would just pull up a notebook, a pen and paper, and just sit there in silence and ask the Lord, God, what do you want to say to the people in this room? And after that, we would share, Barbara, this is a scripture God put on my heart, or this is a picture I have that I feel like God wants me to share with you. And through this, I learned the power, the sovereignty of God in a whole new way. Because when 2 different people bring up a word that feels random, like sunflower, And then that person has picked a sunflower that morning, mm-hmm. and God's teaching them about pruning, mm-hmm. and God reaffirms what mm-hmm. he's doing in someone's life. It really opened my eyes in a new way to how the Lord can work today.
Personally.
Yes. Intimately. Personally.
Yeah. I love that. I think most of us were, I don't have that experience because I grew up in traditional church, mm-hmm. which Sundays are so important. I love Sundays. Yes. I love worship music. I love getting to open God's word. I love seeing people in the body. I love everything about it. Mm-hmm. But I will say in my older years, everybody is just fine. Like when we come to church on Sundays, right. Hey, Sarah, how are you? I'm fine. How are you, Barbara? I'm fine. Like we're all saying we're fine.
Right.
But if we were in the habit of saying, list off those seven emotions again.
Yeah, SASHAY is the acronym. So sad, angry, scared, happy, excited, tender. Mm-hmm.
So what if we came in and when somebody said, how are you? Oh, I'm really happy because, or I'm really sad, or I love the word tender. I think mm-hmm. that's so sweet. Are you in a gathered group?
Yes.
Yes. So those of you that are listening, we have groups here called women's groups called gathered groups, and it is a monthly group, 8 people, mm-hmm. very personal, designed for to get to this. I'm not fine. Mm-hmm. Like, can we celebrate with you? Great. Let's celebrate.
Yeah.
Do we need to grieve with you? Okay. Let's grieve. Do we need to hold something uncertain with you? Okay. Let's hold that together.
Yeah.
And it has been really sweet to watch women have that space.
Absolutely.
Really the only thing you can't say is I'm fine. Like anything else is great. Right. So I love hearing you talk about having this experience mm-hmm. and how much you loved it, even though you didn't grow up in a house church. You had no experience with house church.
Yes. I was very nervous the first 6 months or so. I'm pretty type A, mm-hmm. like pretty 1 or 2 on Enneagram. Mm-hmm. Like I want to get this right. I don't want to get this wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say something if it's not absolutely right, if it can't be reinforced. So I felt like there was some freedom because the professor shared, you know, if you have something encouraging that's coming from your heart that you mm-hmm. want to say to encourage you, Barbara, that's great. Maybe it's from the Lord.
Yeah.
And I felt like over that first year, I was able to gain this confidence mm-hmm. that the Lord did want me to mm-hmm. listen mm-hmm. and to share what he was saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I
but
love
it took
that.
Practice. I mean, just like anything else, mm-hmm. like playing the flute. I'm not mm-hmm. going to do it perfectly the first time, right? Typing on a computer. Right. My kids say, how do you do that so fast? Mm-hmm. Well, I've had some years.
Yeah.
To practice
and over that.
That
course of years, mm-hmm. I would imagine there were sometimes that you didn't hear anything.
Right.
And then there were sometimes you heard something and wondered, is this, okay, I'm going to share this, but I don't think it makes sense.
Right.
And I mean, the whole spectrum, right? Of mm-hmm. not hearing anything to hearing something with confidence you probably experienced.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I love that so much.
But we were making the time. Like that's how we practice and get better at something is we would have this house church and every time we met, mm-hmm. everyone would get to share mm-hmm. and we made the time to listen.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I love this about your story. Because I do believe that God has seen every day. He's seen every day that you're describing that you lived through, and he's seen every day going forward. He wrote your story.
Right.
He knows every chapter.
Yes.
And so that chapter of giving you this foundation of hearing from him, mm-hmm. of creating that space to hear from him, that you could talk to him about anything, that he could talk back to you, all of those things, came about in a pretty big way in the chapter of your story that we're going to talk about today. Mm-hmm. So what would you like to share with everybody? What context would you like to share with our listeners about that part of your story when you were diagnosed with cancer?
Yeah, well, I was just living it up as a stay-at-home mom, you know, doing all the laundry and diapers and dishes and everything that, you know, any stay at home
that happened every day. Yeah.
Yeah. And just all of a sudden it was March of 2020, you know, we'd gotten our toilet paper and got home one day and I was like, man, there's just this bump on my neck. That's kind of weird. Oh, well, there's enough other stuff going on in life. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, June, man, that bump is still there. That's so weird.
Oh, wow. So it didn't feel urgent to you at first.
No, I just thought, oh, maybe it's a swollen lymph node from some infection. You know.
Yeah.
In the world, it wasn't painful. It didn't hurt.
Was it the same size in June or you were just like?
It was a little bigger.
Okay.
And then in July, my mom was like, Sarah, I think you really need to get that checked out.
Okay.
It was about a golf ball size at that point.
Mm.
So I said, okay, yeah, I'm pretty cautious. I like to make sure we have everything.
But this is July of 2020.
Of 2020.
And so we're in a different world.
Yeah, I didn't really want to go to the doctor's office for anything extra. I was a little more worried about picking something up than whatever this weird, painless bump on my neck was. So, but I did. I contacted my doctor and she said, okay, why don't you go get a sonogram? Got the sonogram. And then they said, oh, why don't you go get a fine needle biopsy? So I went and got the biopsy done. They said, you know, I think you need to go to the ENT. I said, ENT? I've never been to them. Okay, sure. I'll go to the ENT. Went there and he felt around and he said, I think this might be cancer.
Up until that point, that was not a thought.
No, not at all. Yeah. Wow. Had no clue. So then I said, okay, they scheduled a, so Annabelle had just started kindergarten 2020.
Yeah. Let's think about that. So she's virtual kindergarten.
She actually got to go in person.
Okay.
So she got to go in person school.
Okay.
So they had to do the whole, take your temperature every day, wear a mask.
But still, again, it's a different time. Like we're preparing for the day differently than we were before or now.
Yes.
And so she has kindergarten and then, your middle one is what? Three?
I guess so. Wow. Two.
Okay.
Yeah. Becca's and then, born 2018. He's the baby. So he was two and then Hattie Lou was four.
Okay. So 2, 4 in kindergarten, which is a very busy time.
So, it was fall break. I had a excisional biopsy to get that lump cut off. They send it off. And so, back then getting the call from the doctor, it was a Zoom call.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember sitting in my bed with my husband and it was November. So I was like, God, I'm just so ready to be thankful. I'm so ready to be thankful that this is not cancer, God. Like, I know you're going to work in a big way. Let's just get through this so we can just move on and be thankful for Thanksgiving and all the things. And then she said, this is stage 3 to 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Wow.
And it's in your neck. It's in your armpit. It's in your abdomen. It's in your groin. And there's not a cure for this.
Mm.
Wow. That knocked me off my feet in the worst way possible.
Understandably so.
Yeah.
And I imagine your kids are in the other room. Like you.
Right. Grandparents in the other room. You know, they're just playing around. And I don't think I'd ever been shook. Like that before. I grew up in the church.
I'm not even sure there's a word on the acronym that you just described about like how you're feeling. I'm not even sure there's a word there to like fully encapsulate what that moment would have been like.
Yeah. Tender, angry.
We need to talk to the acronym people. They need to add a word. Just kidding.
More acronyms. Yeah. That was, it's hard to remember. You know how you kind of block out parts. But I just remember being ready to move forward and do whatever we needed to do.
Yeah. Well, that's the Enneagram 1-2 in you. Like, okay, let's just start tracking towards a solution. Let's start like figuring out what do we need to do and focusing on that.
Right. Yeah. So what's interesting about non-Hodgkin's lymphoma is that if it's not painful, if you're not having symptoms like fevers and night sweats and unexplained weight loss. I wasn't having any of that. I felt normal, but I had this cancer diagnosis.
Stage 3-4. Like,
which sounds kind of severe, but they don't want to do anything like chemo at that point because chemo radiation would decrease your quality of life. So right now, I'm great. I'm taking my kids to school. We're going to the park playing. I'm cooking dinner. We're playing on the ground with kids. I'm not having any issues. So I was put on watch and wait.
Wow.
So watch and wait, I never heard of this either. Every 3 months you get your blood work done and you go to your oncologist and they just
palpate. So even though it was in all of those places, you're still on a watch and wait.
Right. So it was this weird, like, okay, life is kind of back to normal. I just have in my back pocket you have cancer. And so be on the lookout for these four symptoms. You know, if you have big bumps pop up somewhere, fevers, unexplained weight loss, then let your doctor know.
Okay. Wow.
So we kind of, you know, just keep going on doing life. 2020 hits. My husband's doing wedding films. That kind of like slows down. He kind of shifts into doing more corporate work. And he was just getting a lot of, like we were talking about, a lot of work in the DFW area where he's from. You know, you just have all those natural friends and connections up there. And so in 2020, he really felt like the Lord was putting on his heart that our family should move up to DFW. His mom had also been diagnosed with Parkinson's at that point.
Okay.
So we also felt, man, we really want to be close to
family.
Family. And so we moved to Keller in 2021.
Okay.
And his brother at the time was going to the South Lake campus.
Okay.
So we did visit a couple other churches, but felt like this felt like a good home church, a good fit. So yeah, we started going to church here and loved getting to know people here. Honestly, we never imagined ourselves being back in like an institutional quote church, right? After doing house church for so long. But the Lord was really sweet. Jordan did the men's mentoring group.
Okay. Yeah. Radical mentoring.
Radical mentoring. And got really plugged in, got to know people. I had a lot of fun getting to know people serving the children's ministry, just, you know, nurseries in the morning. And got
I love how open y'all, you guys, like from the time you met, really got married, what you've explained to us, like you've always been open to where the Lord was taking you or what the Lord had in front of you. I love that about y'all's story. That's really sweet.
I'm sure it's just a testimony to our parents, you know, like whatever church we're going to be in, we're going to be there. We're going to be serving. We're going to be involved. Really grateful.
That's beautiful. That's a beautiful legacy, like that you can point back to that being y'all's experience growing up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so we got here. It is sweet of the Lord to think about God's timing. We returned 2021, you know, had a few years to get to know our new community.
Yeah.
To get to know our neighbors and build some really sweet friendships in the area. And then in 2023, we were driving to Houston and I turned, you know how you do, to give a kid a snack awkwardly from the front seat. Get it back here. And I felt that bump again. I thought, oh my goodness, something feels weird on that left side of my neck.
Yeah.
I think that's growing again. So just felt this urgency this time that this was different. And so I switched from my local oncologist to UT Southwestern to a lymphoma specialist.
Okay.
And she said, we need to start chemo right now. So in March of 23, I felt this large spot growing really suddenly on my neck. So I did switch to a more specialized oncologist. She insisted I start chemotherapy right away.
Which that's totally different than what your first oncologist, right? Because you haven't experienced those other symptoms yet that the first oncologist told you to watch for.
Right. I think I was having some night sweats.
Okay.
And felt like this was different. So I was really nervous about starting chemotherapy. I mean, you know, the movies, like media, what's portrayed.
Oh, for sure.
You see like this deathly ill person that's pale and can't get out of bed. So my sweet precious husband, Jordan, he researched like, you know, I'm with kids all day. I'm going to bed at 9, 10 o'clock at night. He was researching till 2 a.m, all the possible other things we could do besides chemotherapy. And he found what we felt was my best option. We actually went to Tijuana, Mexico for 3 weeks for an immunotherapy program there.
Okay. And just the two of you? Just the two of you?
Just the two of us.
Yeah, that's hard for a mom to, I mean.
Right.
I hear what you're saying. And this is our best option, but there's still a sacrifice to being separated from y'all's children for that long.
Right.
Yeah.
They had just gotten out of school in May. And so those next 3 weeks we went. And man, talk about the power of community and the church and the extended family coming in from Houston and Kansas and San Antonio and everywhere to be with the kids. That was really a gift. And so I got a lot of vitamin infusions there. They did some different kind of therapies that they don't do here. They did something where they heat your body up and they cycle all your blood out and heat it to like 104 degrees to help kill virus and bacteria.
Wow.
And then they put the blood back inside of you.
Like things we wouldn't even know that they could do. That yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, at least those of us not in the medical world.
Right. Yeah. And stuff that people at MD Anderson said was crazy and stupid. Mm. Or at least looked at us like we were from another planet. Like, why would you try to do that?
Right.
But other people had been cured by doing these things. So ultimately, we came home in June after being away from our kids for 3 weeks. And we were really optimistic that I was healing. My neck tumor had shrunk while we were there.
Wow.
And so got home in June. But at the end of July, I started having some really intense pain in my chest. And I wasn't going to have a PET scan until September.
Okay.
So in my head, I just thought, this is working. The treatment I got there is working. It's just causing some weird sensations. And then in August, I was getting pain in my groin. And it was really bad. And they gave me morphine because it was so painful.
Wow.
And some nights, I felt like I was in labor again. And I was just... like, what in the world is going on? Yeah. I thought I was healing.
It's disrupting. It's painful enough. It's disrupting.
Now it's starting to interfere with my quality of life.
Right.
Exactly. So I had a PET scan on September 5th, and it showed that the cancer had spread to my bones. So now it was at stage 4. Before it was like 3/4. Now it's stage 4. And my oncologist insisted I start chemo the very next week because she thought, you know, next is your organs.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. No, we're not going to let this cancer spread to my organs. So that was September 5th. So I'm pretty sure it was September 13th was the Wonder Conference that year.
It was close to that. I'd have to go back and look, but you're like, I trust you. It's somewhere within that would have been Wonder 2023.
Yeah. Somewhere around there.
And so have you started chemo at this point?
No.
No. Okay.
September 13th was my first chemo.
Okay. And so you still came to Wonder.
So it was probably like the 8th. I was like, this is like the last thing I'm going to get to do probably like the real world around people for a while. So that was really powerful because I was really scared. I kind of felt like chemo was what I had to do next. But I really didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
I had small kids. They're at a hybrid school. So they go to school 2 days a week and then I homeschool them the other days of the week. So I don't feel like I have.
How's this going to work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like God, like,
yeah.
How is life going to work out for me and my kids if this is what's going to happen? I'm cold. I'm like shivering.
Yeah.
Like, okay. All right. Deep breath. So. at the conference during the worship time, I don't really feel like I was, I don't know what I'm trying to say. At the worship time, I just remember pleading with God and asking him what's going to happen next. You know, I'm just really in this season of, I've never before felt so unsure of my future, right? And I just remember during one of the worship times, God said, I am going to heal you.
Wow. So you are hearing this thought.
It's very clearly.
Right. And that's one of the things I love so much about when we are being willing to share our stories is if you haven't been to Wonder Conference before that year, there were probably close to 1,600 women in the room. And God knows, we believe this to be true, that he knows every single one of them.
Oh, yeah. Right.
He knows their name. He knows everything about them. He knows their heart posture coming in. He knows what they need within the day. He knows it's overwhelming for me to think about this, but I believe it to be true. We pray about it on the front end. There is a prayer team that goes in and prays over every seat. And that year in particular, I remember being in the auditorium and just praying over every seat and saying, Lord, I don't know the name of the person sitting in this seat, but you do. And so just to think the coverage before the day, to think that he knows every single woman and what's going on, and then he can speak the message that they need is beautiful. So I love that you are willing to share. This is what I heard during a worship set.
Yeah. And I was so skeptical, mm-hmm. I think, that I didn't even tell my husband that because
you weren't sure. Like you weren't sure.
Yeah, is that really God? I mean, that's pretty easy for my mind to make up what it wants to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure if I believed it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to believe it, but I had no idea what the future would hold.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known plenty of people that have not mm-hmm. lived after having cancer.
Yeah. Right.
So I knew God could heal me, but he hadn't yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just been in Mexico where I really thought he was going to heal me.
Right.
And so the next morning, I just remember I woke up really early, like 4 a.m. And I went to our couch and was just, I mean, digging my heels in. I mm-hmm. was just not wanting to do chemo and telling God how much I didn't want to do it. And I heard him tell me, you need to do the chemo. This mm-hmm. is what I have next for you.
Mm. Yeah.
And I had so much peace about it.
Which thank you, God, for
thank
that.
Thank you, God. Yes.
Like, because you're signing up to do something really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, God, that he would be so clear that this is what I have for you.
Amen. So I was a little nervous, of course, like I'm still a human, but I had that peace that passes understanding
mm-hmm.
that is just what we need sometimes mm-hmm. to make it through just the first step. Yeah. Of something really hard. So it was 6 rounds of chemo. So started that September of 2023 and last round was in January of 2023. And those were some long months.
Sure.
But the Lord was faithful to surround me with amazing friends, family, and church family.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a meal train. This meal train had like caboose after caboose after caboose.
I love it.
And last round in January. So I thought, all right, cross the finish line, right? Mm-hmm. January of 2024, done with chemo, 3 rounds and the scan showed that the cancer had dramatically shrunk.
Okay.
So I was just optimistic. This is going to wipe it out. We're going to be done. I never had the thought, I think that the chemo might not work,
mm-hmm.
which is silly, but that's just kind of how I operated, I think. So that was January 3rd. Last round. Then 2 weeks later, mm-mm. I felt a huge lump grow quick on the side of my neck, exactly where it had grown before. I was just, what in the world is going on, right?
Yes.
So I had another PET scan scheduled for January 29th, and it showed the cancer was still there in my neck. So the chemo had eliminated a good amount of the cancer in most of my body, but it was still in the left neck.
Mm-hmm.
So in February is when a biopsy was done and the oncologist confirmed it had transformed from this less aggressive kind of cancer into a cancer called diffuse large B cell that's more aggressive and more fast growing.
Wow.
But
nothing prepares you for that news after 6 months of chemo.
No.
Yeah.
Right. But the crazy thing about the more aggressive kind is mm-hmm. that there's some treatments that you can do for the more aggressive kind.
Okay.
So there's a treatment I did in March called CAR T cell therapy.
Okay.
Before that, I had some radiation because mm-hmm. they wanted to shrink the cancer as much as possible to give this treatment the best mm-hmm. chance possible. So that February is when that worship night was.
Okay. Yes, there was a worship night mm-hmm. at the Keller campus.
Right.
This is another thing about the beauty of the body of Christ, whether they're bringing a meal or taking care of your kids, that the Keller campus, that the body of Christ at that campus had decided, we are going to the throne room on Sarah's behalf. Like, we're coming to battle. We're coming to, you know, That was the reason they were gathering for that worship night mm-hmm. was just to pray for your healing, pray for your family. Yeah. I mean, what a beautiful thing
right.
to know, hey, this is being planned. This is being, time is being set apart for people to take me to the,
just for me. Like, I still can't get over that. You know, like I would be there in a heartbeat for anybody else, but it feels like I'm worthy. Like God cares about me.
Yeah.
Just as much as everybody else he died on the cross for is still radical, right?
To feel sometimes.
So I couldn't go that night. I had a 101 fever.
So you were planning to go.
I wanted to go so bad.
Right.
Yeah.
And then at what point does this fever pop up? That was a Monday.
The day of. I mean, Satan. Right? Like if he can't get you down one way, he'll get you down the other. But God was listening. And that was in February. And
so the first time I heard you tell this story, you were explaining about I really wanted to go to that worship night. And the Lord knew that, right?
He knew that.
Then you so beautifully said, I'm laying in my bed, just basically crying before the Lord. I really wanted to be there. Like, you know, they're all at this worship night where you want to be. Obviously, God's presence is there. But I think when I heard you talk about this, it was so beautiful to me because I also felt like, well, God was right there with you in your bedroom crying out, like, I want to be there because he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And how sweet to think he can hold you, but yet be there and receiving, you know, all of those requests on your behalf. It's just unbelievably beautiful. I mean, would you say that you felt his presence with you, even though you couldn't be at the worship night?
Towards the end of it, I was pretty angry, honestly, all throughout it. I was really mad and angry.
And that's, I mean, it didn't scare him away.
Yeah, it didn't scare him. I don't know if I told you, Barbara, Jordan came home that night, you know, after having this powerful experience. And he told me that God was going to heal me.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't want to hear it. I said, that's fine that you believe that.
Well, do you want to, will you share with us why you felt like?
I'll share. Sure, I'll share.
Just because you, is it because you were angry because you couldn't be there? Is it because?
I was really angry, I think, that God was letting this happen to
all me. All of it.
Yeah.
Like collectively. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I was feeling really run down. I mean, I feel for anyone right now who is recovering from a surgery. My friend Kelly Hankins, she's recovering from a surgery. That's not fun. You know, when you're just kind of knocked off your feet and things are not normal. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening right now.
And sometimes it can be like normal. So to take a second for that, like to have compassion for the people who are listening, maybe it's physical, like that's drained you to this point. Maybe it's finances.
Yes.
Maybe, I mean, there's a whole list of circumstances that could leave you wondering, where is God and why did he let this happen?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's just the point where you were at.
Right. And it's, it feels so selfish, right, to like think that, but I mean, we're all humans. And we're all gonna, I mean, there was, I had a few really hard days and I would say that was one of them. Because suffering, no religion can explain why we suffer. and I think that for the most part, I was in a pretty good headspace of why wouldn't this happen to me? Like God can work through any circumstance.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like the next person he died on the cross for. Just because we profess our faith in him doesn't mean we're not going to have trials and go through hardships just
when
like everybody
actually
else.
It means we are.
Right.
You know, because
he
I mean, really, because
will have suffering.
He said you will have trouble. But also there's I think it's in Romans. We're studying Romans on Wednesday night right now.
Oh,
we're
neat.
Not through yet. So that's why I'm went. But I think it's in Romans when Paul says, as believers, we will share in his suffering and we will share in his glory. Like we don't get to just share in the glory. As followers of Jesus, we're going to share. We're going to share both. And so I think we're absolutely going to experience suffering.
Right. Yeah. So I was frustrated and upset. But, you know, something really sweet. People that night wrote note cards to me. And he brought him home.
So somebody had that idea.
Was it
Think
you,
about
Barbara?
No, oh. No, it wasn't. I would totally take credit if it was. But I'm just saying, okay, let's like back up for a second. Again, I truly believe that God has seen every day.
Yes.
And so he knew what you were going to need. Mm. So he put his spirit put on somebody else's heart. Hey, we should, I don't know who that is. We need to track that down.
Yeah, right.
Like, who was it? Was it somebody on the worship team? Was it somebody on the staff? Was it just somebody who had been doing life with you?
And like I still have those notes.
And was that the plan before you got sick? Before you had the fever? Or was that the plan because you couldn't be there? That would be a really fascinating thing to just figure out, because if God knew what you were going to need, I haven't even thought about this till you, I didn't know this about the cards, but if God knew what you were going to need, he will allow the fever the morning of, because he's working in all of us and through all of us, and he's weaving it all together. And if he knew you were going to need the cards on the back end of, you know, some of this, that he would allow the fever for you to not be there. So that the person who's having compassion about you not being there, well, we could write cards to Sarah. And then, I mean, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful. He's working. I just think sometimes we're just so busy or so focused on and things that matter to us. I'm not saying that we get focused on things that don't matter to us, but but that we can kind of miss that he's working. So you still have those cards.
Yeah. And something I wrote down, I feel like the Lord put on my heart. Just this Sunday was, sometimes we need to give up something okay, like something good, something it's okay for something better. And, you know, all those people that went to that worship night and prayed for me that I would be healed, that God would change his mind, you know, to not let this cancer consume me and kill me. All those people decided to sacrifice something. And that's what gets me about God, is he will change his mind. Yeah, I was just reading, like, you know, something in First Kings about Ahab, somebody, God had decided he was going to kill this person because he was worshiping other gods, or, oh, I got to find it. But this man, he fasted and he changed his heart, and God decided not to kill him. You know, like, we can pray for people and God can change his mind. That's still just, I feel like I'm forever indebted to all these people that prayed for me.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
So Jordan comes home and he is had this really great experience.
Really great experience. Wish I could be there.
And then you have the gift of the cards.
Yes.
And so tell us what the Lord did out of that. Like, what,
you know, God uses us to build each other up, right? And so I feel like the encouraging words of people, helped me to remember that we're all in this together. Like, the church is beside me. They're behind me. God has gone before me. He knew this was going to happen, right? Like, that's the crazy thing, is in our lives, he knows what's going to happen. He knows how Satan's going to work. And yet he's still there with us through it. He doesn't leave us alone.
Yeah.
To suffer through.
And actually, God's voice is speaking to you through every single one of those cards.
Totally.
I really don't want our listeners to miss that sometimes in a situation like this, we think, I don't know what I could do to be helped. I cannot imagine what Sarah's going through. I can make a meal. He can speak through that. I can write a card. He can speak through that. If we will listen to those things and walk alongside of people in their suffering, that he's actually using us to be his voice too. Like, he's speaking through his people to encourage you, to sustain you, to remind you that that he is there. So I think that's really sweet to think about.
How he orchestrated that. His timing. It's really powerful. So that was February, right? So so I had this treatment called CAR T cell therapy. It's kind of a newer thing. I think it came out in 2016, 2017, something like that. And So it's basically, have I told you about this before? Mm-mm. So they take the cells out of your body.
Okay.
And they ship them off to a lab.
What?
And they train your T cells how to fight your kind of cancer.
Wow.
And then they bring them back and they insert the cells into you.
Wow.
And then those cells fight your cancer.
That's incredible.
And then I think what the craziest part is, it's like a living drug. Uh-huh. And so they pass that knowledge of how to fight cancer cells onto the next generation of cells.
Wow.
Because your cells only last like 90 days.
Yeah.
And so that's the idea, is that they keep passing on to the next generation how to fight cancer so that they are continually working, hopefully for the rest of your life.
Wow.
Yeah. So I just had think my 6 month scan.
Like, it's not just healing the current cell, but it, like, what you just said, it's like a whole podcast for another day. Like,
totally.
Teaching the next generation how to fight.
Like, hey, that's what we need to do,
right? Not to
over-spiritualize
this, but like,
what in the world? Teach the next generation so that they can teach the next generation.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. Because that's what's going to change the world.
Yeah. Which is also why, like, I think that, man, for a lot of people, we can never really understand why God would allow cancer at such a young age to a mom with young kids, and to think that there's so much more than he's using what he's speaking to you than just for your physical body, Sarah, because you have young kids at home and you and Jordan are teaching the next generation how to fight darkness. Like, it all translates to who he is and who he has called us to be. Mm-hmm. That's unbelievable.
Wow. I know. It's just.
But then I also think there are cells in your body right now that only know how to fight cancer because of the cells that were before them.
Right. And my faith, I know in a large part, is because of what's come before me. My grandfather just died and he was 90. And the sweetest stories I heard, you know, of his faith and a lady coming up to me and saying, I remember praying for you for your first job. And
wow.
And just thinking about the kindness of the Lord, you know, that some of us have grandparents that knew the Lord.
Yeah, that's right. And grandparents and great-grandparents.
Yeah.
Well, and I also think this part of your story I did not really know until we were unpacking today, but that God is the giver of everything. He's the giver of life. He's also the giver of knowledge. Mm-hmm. So the times when I have been with loved ones in a situation, I'm super thankful for. My mom passed away from cancer, and I remember sitting with one of her doctors one time and just thinking, I don't even know how she knows everything she knows, but I thank you, God, that you created her to, you know, have a brain that works this way, that has a desire for the knowledge, to have the desire to learn about a disease. I mean, it's incredible to just think that the Lord created each one of us for a purpose.
Yes.
And so for some, it is this purpose, to be a doctor and to have the knowledge that you and I don't have about what we need. And that is a gift from God. I mean, he's the giver of all the good gifts. And a doctor having great medical knowledge is a gift.
It is, yes. And that God would move me to DFW, closer to
UT Southwestern. Yeah. And yes.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, that was really
so that was February 2024?
Yes.
That so was not that long ago.
March 2024 is March when 2024. I had the CAR T cell therapy.
Okay.
So, they basically put your cells in like 15 minutes. There they are. Oh, did you hear this part about, so there's a guy that brings your cells in this like huge, kind of looks like R2-D2, like this big, like cooler type thing. Cause they want to keep the cells frozen, you know, coming from California. And so he opens it up and there's like this mystical steam that comes out. And then there's this little bag, just about the size of a postcard. And it's, you know, one of those bags, like they hang on an IV and it just has like this little clump of like cloudy looking cells and they put it on there. And the guy that brought him in, you know how you kind of see someone's name badge kind of dangling as they're walking around? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it says J-E-S-U-S.
Okay.
Okay. And he has kind of brown curly hair. So, you know, I mean, I've met lots of people. I'm from Houston. Like, I've met lots of people named Jesus, right? I'm like, I just want to hear him say it, right? Like,
yes.
Hey, how are you doing? Thanks for coming today. Hey, what's your name? Like, I can see it. It's kind of on his waistband. I'm kind of playing dumb, you know? He says, my name is Jesus.
Wow.
Mm-mm. Okay, Barbara. I've never met someone named Jesus.
That pronounces it that way.
That pronounces it that way. I was just sure he was going to say Jesus.
Out of all the names in the world that could be on the name badge that are delivering the cells, that is unbelievable.
Okay, Lord. Like, I think I just have some doubts, right? Mm-hmm. Like, at that point, Jordan's psyched, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, all right, God told me he's going to heal you. We got the cells. Here you go.
We got the cells. They were delivered by Jesus.
Yeah. And then they're delivered by Jesus. And I just feel like the Lord was like, can I make it any clearer for you?
Yeah.
That I'm here for you right now in this moment. That I've always been here.
Wow. Because I both know from you are a cancer survivor and I've walked along somebody with cancer. Like, cancer is not in a hurry.
Nope.
There's a lot of time to wait.
Yeah.
There's a lot of time to be still.
Yes.
And that is a gift.
And it really was a gift because you have to wait after the cells are there. You have to wait like a week in the hospital because they want to make sure you're not having any bad reactions. And that was a lot of waiting and just kind of feeling weird. And
Like, and this is the other thing I think that is so amazing about your story, that it just reminds us of the character of who God is, that after all of this, that he would still be so kind in saying, hey, I am here for you. Like, that's the message you're hearing. I've always been here. I am here. Like, it's just sweet. He didn't say that in a way that was like
condescending.
Why haven't you gotten this by now?
Right. Yeah. That's so true. And the nurse. Okay. Mm-hmm. Same day, right? Mm-hmm. The nurse, her name was Remedios. And she said that it's kind of funny that she went into nursing because her name means healing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I did. We, my husband and I wrote a blog post about that day because it was just like, okay, God. All right.
All
right. We got it. You know, stack up the stones and make our Ebenezer pole. Right. Like, remember this day.
And also give you glory for everything that you're doing.
Exactly. I mean, if I'm going to go through something like this, God, use it to your glory. I don't want any of this to be wasted.
Right, right.
You
Amen
know?
To that.
I am just like, God, if there has to be suffering, let it be for your good. Let people come to know that you are good through this.
Yeah.
Which is hard when I have friends. So like my friend Lindsay, her husband died of brain cancer last year. Okay, right? Like, this is the juxtaposition that's so hard, is like, we have this God that's kind, right? But he allows evil.
Right.
And he's with us, but sometimes he feels far away.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, I think my whole life I've grappled with that, you know, like, you're good, but you allow these children to have cancer. What? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So.
So you had to wait for a week in the hospital and then you got to go home.
Yeah, I did. I got to go home early. Did I tell you this story?
No.
How much time do you got? Gosh.
I don't know. I have lost track of time. I don't think it matters.
Okay. Short version. So you're supposed to stay in the hospital 10 to 14 days.
Okay.
I got a fever and stayed. I had a fever, chills, headache, felt crummy for like 3 days. Easter happens. And then... let's see. Then I really wanted to go home. I was, you know, like 24 hours without any symptoms. And my husband comes to visit and he tells me about the kids and how the kids really want to come, but kids aren't allowed under 12. And so he goes home and my, 8-year-old, they're kind of joking. Hey, why don't you just put me in a suitcase, daddy, and just close it up and just roll it up the elevator. I'll be really quiet and then I can see mommy, you know, and no one will know. And Jordan says, I have an even better idea. Why don't we pray that mommy gets to come home early from the hospital?
Wow.
And they prayed. And the next day I got to come home from the hospital.
That's beautiful.
and it was my half birthday.
Oh,
which is silly, right? Half birthday. But to me, I felt like God was saying, I'm giving you a new birth.
Yeah.
I'm giving you a new life.
Mm.
Don't mess, like, not don't mess it up, but it's a, here's a gift for mm-hmm. you.
Well, and it's also a gift that your husband in that moment, like, who wouldn't want to put the kid in the suitcase and take him up there? Like, who wouldn't, right? But at the same time, the wisdom of, hey, let's talk to God about it. And then her having the experience of God heard me and mom got to come home. And that's not always going to be a pattern in her life. There's no formula to that, but she has had this experience of I poured out my heart to God and he heard me.
Yeah.
Right. So that's beautiful.
And she was the one who had the hardest time when we mm-hmm. found out I was going to have to be in the hospital for maybe about 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
She was the one who had the most tears.
Sure. So fast forward a little bit to today, like, because that was not that long ago.
Right.
When this year, February 2024, we're still in 2024.
Yeah. Feels like it was a while ago. So thankfully that was March. And then in April, I had my 30-day scan and it was all clear.
Wow. No cancer.
Yeah. No cancer.
Because those cells are now fighting or teaching other cells to fight. And
right. Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
So I had the 90-day scan in June.
Okay.
No cancer. She said it could not look better.
Praise
my skin
God.
Could not look better.
Thank you, God.
So I had my 6-month scan in September and there's no cancer.
Oh, my goodness. Sarah, I'm celebrating with you and I'm sitting here thinking in September 2023, the Lord is talking to you about healing you. And then a year later, you're sitting in the same auditorium with the same God, cancer free. What did that feel like? What did that feel like?
I was weeping. I witnessed it.
I was like, oh, yes. If y'all haven't heard the worship song, I've witnessed it. That was very powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of a full circle thing. I mean, still like almost like an out-of-body experience. Like, I'm here. I just wanted to be here.
I'm here and I'm cancer-free.
I just wanted to be here to be my kid's mom so they wouldn't have to not have a mom for however long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. God is so good.
Well, you've kind of already alluded to this, but I would like for you to tell us some words to you that describe God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like for you to share with our listeners the story you told me about conference day this year about your son.
Yeah.
And then I have a scripture to close us out.
Okay.
So I think that would be a beautiful way to wind down today.
Yeah.
If you don't mind the descriptor words and then sharing that story about Beckett this year.
Right. So descriptor words for what I think God's voice sounds like. To me, it feels calm.
Mm.
I feel like I tend towards being an anxious person.
Mm.
So to me, his voice is calm.
Which is a gift in what you've experienced.
Yes.
To think. I want y'all to hear that.
Yes.
She has heard the worst of the worst diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes everything around us feel chaotic and that you would use the word calm to describe God's voice is so beautiful. So beautiful.
Steady was the second word. Loving and forgiving.
Mm.
So I feel like I, you know, go sit in my bed at the end of the day and think, man, I could have been more patient with my kiddo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know. It's so easy to think about what I could have done better at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But God wants to forgive us. He doesn't want us to have shame.
That's right. That's why he gives us a new morning.
He wants us to repent and follow him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what I don't feel like God's voice is angry and disappointed.
Mm. Oh, that's good. Somebody needs to hear that today.
Because he knew we were sinners. That's why he sent Jesus to show us how to live, to die on the cross for all our sins mm-hmm. because he knew we were going to mess up.
Yeah.
So we need to stop beating ourselves up about it. Mm-hmm. We need to repent, mm-hmm. renew our minds, mm-hmm. right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And fix our eyes on Jesus and just mm-hmm. keep taking these baby steps in yeah. obedience, listening to him. Mm-hmm.
And the truth is God made kids to be very resilient.
Yes.
And so, I mean, I'm a little bit older and further in my parenting, so I can tell you this is true. We're going to hang on to the, oh, I should have been more patient with my kid longer than the kid because God made them to be resilient. And so they're learning from us when we wrestle that out with the Lord. If we go back to our kids and say, I'm really sorry, like, they're resilient. So they accept kids are so forgiving and they're so, so much more understanding
yeah.
than we are sometimes.
I have to agree with that.
It's just the way that their hearts are, it's the way that God made them, but they're also experiencing us being willing to say we fall short. Mm-hmm. Like we're teaching them all the time. We're teaching yes. the next generation. I just think that is a theme that is your story
yes.
of, what it looks like to fight in this world for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so that's really beautiful.
And well, another thing about God's yes. voice, and I'll share the story.
Yeah.
I just thought about today how God is relationship oriented and mm-hmm. I tend to be so task oriented mm-hmm. and I feel like my husband's relationship oriented.
Yeah.
He got the most caring award in graduate school. Like, uh-huh. But he gets stuff done too, you know? So I feel like God is teaching me, how to be more focused on the relationship mm-hmm. than my checklist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the story about conference this year,
you were telling me, I mean, obviously both years you're getting in the car, you're anticipating spending time with the Lord. Like mm-hmm. you know, and so this year I can only imagine that you were pretty excited to get in the car and come spend time with the Lord.
Yeah. So this year, so my youngest is 6. So, I mean, we've had babysitters since he was a baby, and they're always so excited. My girls are always like, ooh, new babysitter, friend from church, can't wait. But for some reason this time, my little boy was having a hard time. He did not want me to go, and it was early in the morning on a Saturday. And mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, buddy, I've prepared him the night
before.
Gonna
be gone all day.
Yeah, be gone all day. I think that was the hard part. And so I said, all right, goodbye. I gave him a hug on the stairs. He gave me this big hug. And he looked at me and said, Mommy, just please come back as soon as you can. Just like holding back tears so that he can talk. And I said, I will, buddy, I will. So yeah, I went, got in the car. And I was just, as I was driving here, or maybe it was during the worship that morning. Mm-hmm. I felt like that was like God giving me this picture. He was mm-hmm. like, hey, you know how your son wants you to come back as soon as you can? Mm-hmm. I feel like God was reminding me that that's how he feels mm-hmm. with us.
That's so beautiful. Come back as soon as you can.
Because I make space for God sometimes, mm-hmm. not as much as I want to. Mm-hmm. I want to mm-hmm. be real better about listening daily.
Yeah.
And those times with him are just so good and so centering and so what I need to hear.
Mm-hmm. And isn't it sweet to think that we have a father that is so excited for us to come back to him?
Right. Like, what a gift.
Come back as soon as you can.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so sweet. It's so sweet. I'm so grateful that you were willing to just share your story and the tender parts, the beautiful parts. And as you were speaking, this scripture fell out of my Bible that I had handwritten a long time ago, but I feel like it is something that the Lord wants to remind you and to remind everybody that is listening today. It's from Psalms 3, two of my favorite verses, Psalms 3:3-4. Not my favorite, that's another podcast, but these are pretty close second. The psalmist says, but you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. I can only imagine there are so many times when you look back in your story that he was a shield around you and that he's been the one that's held your head high. And verse 4 that says, I cried out to the Lord and he answered me from his holy mountain. And now I'm thinking, he's saying, and come back as soon as you can. Mm. So sweet. So thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Barbara. It's good to be with you.